Welcome to the Exceedingly Podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors, and talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth. Well, Terry Christian, Reverend Terry Christian, I am so excited and honored that God has put both of us in the same virtual room at the same time. I am honored and delighted to have you here today.
Well, I'm very blessed to be here with you for more than one reason. To have the opportunity to be on your channel is important. I'm speaking to you from the Grill, Jamaica, where I came 14 years ago with 3 years to live dying of cancer. So now my home is here. I'm alive and well here. And you are my first interview from what I call the upper room. So I'm happy to be here and share with you, what did Jesus say?
This is awesome, Terry. This really is. And what is so interesting to me is, like, I can see this, I almost like see a movie playing out in my mind right now, because I literally did the first interview in a new series 3 days ago. Okay. God placed it on my heart. And you were one of the very first people that I reached out to. And you would have been the first call if it weren't for a couple of people that I knew personally. And so we put them on the calendar early. And so I think I feel really, really special. I just feel like this is a special time. If it'd be okay with you, I don't usually do this on a podcast. I'd like to open the time in a quick prayer, and then I want to ask you a question and allow you to jump off, because we want to get gold from you today.
Well, as you said, you don't usually do this. That just magnifies one more step that I'm saying. This is the most memorable experience that we're going to reflect back on. This will be a beginning. So please share the prayer.
Father, I come before you right now, and I am delighted to be in your world today. I am delighted that I took action last week, that Terry took action last week, that you've been firing something up inside of both of us. And here we get to intersect at just a perfect time in your timing. Father, I lift up to you this next 30 minutes, 45 minutes, whatever it is that we spend talking. Father, I ask that you would light this up, that you would speak through Terry, that if I open my mouth, that it's you speaking through me, and not for our glory, but for your glory. And so important, the benefit of the hearers, that they would get something from you through our voices today. We pray in Christ's name, thankfully. Amen.
Amen.
Terry, I'm delighted to have you here. You know, Bob Thibodeau introduced us, and so I don't know you as well as a lot of folks that I tend to interview. But after spending just a couple of minutes with you pre-podcast and reading what you've done, I got to tell you this, reading your website and looking at what you do, I don't know that I know anybody in our current world that matches kind of the footsteps of Jesus on earth right now today than what I see you doing. And it just really excites me. So why don't you tell me in your own words, what it is, boots on the ground, that God has you doing right now?
Well, I'm 73, and I met the Lord at 23 in a near-death experience in Santa Monica, California. I came from a violently dysfunctional family. I left home at 16, dropped out of school, stuttered real bad, couldn't say five words in a row. I had this moment in this near-death experience, and in this moment, I had a dream. And the dream, I was on a Gilligan's Island, if you go back in time on that show, and there was a storm that was kicking up, and I buried my face in the sand and hung onto the tree. And when the storm was over, I woke up and I was naked to the world, and I just felt different. And this tree that I was holding on opened up, and a light came out of it, and I could hear the voice, "What do you want to do?" And I said, "What do you mean?" And the Spirit said, "Do you want to stay here or go back?" And I said, "Well, what would I do if I went back?" And I could feel the Spirit of the Lord say, "You will speak for me." Now, I'm a stutterer and I'm a dropout. I'm a carpenter, by the way. So let's just make it all a roof, a real fruit bowl here. Okay, what's going on? When I woke up, I was not the same, no doubt about it. A few weeks later, I get hired by the Dale Carnegie Organization because I had the kind of character and attitude they wanted to teach, which is I would go make cold calls without fear. And next thing you know, I'm standing on a table reciting a poem in the Dale Carnegie class, and I'm going for it, and I'm taught. Then I go on to become a motivational speaker, do 2,500 speeches over 15 years, become a corporate speaker. So I read 500 books. I got deep into the whole thing. And then at 46, I was called away to do a 46-day fast. Now, that'll challenge who you are. And I did that. And at the end of that, 2 years later, the Lord said, let's go. And I walked away from what at 49, I'm 73, like I said, now I walked away at 49 from $1 million life, a limousine I owned, everything you would want, but it had no meaning after the 46-day fast. It just didn't, okay? So I left all that and started to do what I'm now doing. And so when I got time to compose the book, I said, Lord, what do you want me to do with the book? And the Lord said, just tell them what I told them and nothing more. So therefore I produced the book, What Did Jesus Say? Seven Messages from the Master, based on the four gospels only. It's got 500 scriptures from Jesus, no comments from me, no opinions from me. You don't need any of that when you're listening to Jesus. The Holy Spirit guides you. So now it turns out to be a teaching devotional where any Christian division, and there are so many Christian divisions, it's embarrassing, they can all use this book because I didn't pollute it with any opinions and comments. So now my life is devoted to helping Christians. Now, I've gone through the book of Job to get to here with you. I had to go back and study the book of Job to make sure I wasn't being penalized or I was being tested. Either way, I needed to know. And I was being tested, not penalized. So I do appreciate your comment. I walk the talk. This is what I'm about. This is my third attempt to get the book to the market for Christmas. My first attempt to COVID shut it down in 2022 or 2020. My second attempt was 2022. My partner caught the COVID that broke up the partnership. And now here we are. So now I believe that if we don't do what Jesus said to do, because this society is responsible for what's in the scripture, what's in the Bible. So if you read the New Testament, that's what we're responsible for. We either believe what Jesus said or we have to believe what is said about Jesus. Now, what's said about Jesus is far differently than what Jesus said about himself and what to do. And that's just how it is. It's upset some people, but you have to decide, even in the New Testament, who are you going to walk with? And that's what I bring to the table. The loving reality of the divisions of the New Testament. And I don't care how these Protestants shave it differently than the Catholics, differently than the Orthodox. They're all in trouble. They're all trouble when you look behind the scenes. That's what I'm here to talk about. We have to unite the Christians before we're going to help the lost. We're only going to unite them based on what Jesus said because there's no divisions allowed in his structure. There's just none, not among us. Okay, so he may divide us from our parents, he may divide us from our friends, but once we're on the vine, we're united, there's a problem. So that's what I'm here to talk about.
That's just really interesting, Terry, because this happened to be the topic of discussion. It was not intended to be on the lat with the last pastor that I talked with. And it's really interesting. One of the things that I shared, and I'm going to toss the ball right back to you because I'm interviewing you. But I shared this idea that there's people in all different denominations. And I named a bunch of them, Presbyterians, right, and Baptists and right, Charismatics and Bible believers and all. Absolutely. These different. And the enemy has just done such a good job of pitting them against each other.
Absolutely.
On one little theological issue. And now they can't lock arms anymore.
Absolutely.
And the truth of the matter is Jesus didn't do that. Jesus divided the Pharisees from his followers, but Jesus never divided his followers ever. We don't see any time that Jesus divided his followers. And even when the disciples came to him and said, hey, there's somebody else preaching about you over here, Jesus said, don't worry about it. If he's not for us, he's against us, right?
Right.
Terry, I want to hear you. I don't want to ask any more. What actually, there's one thing I do want to share, Terry, is that this is really exciting to me. You've had really two near-death experiences. You had the first one 50 years ago. You had that first one. God brought you back.
Right.
God brought you back. But really, 14 years ago, you had a three-year death sentence, is what you told me earlier.
Oh, yeah.
You had 3 years. Yeah. You, God's given you an extra 11 years on top of that, and you're out there doing his work. This is just beautiful. But let's get into your message. I want to just get to the root of your message right now. I want to hear it.
Okay. Well, let's just take 1 minute and touch on that healing moment, because that's part of what I do in counseling. I was faced with a near-death experience, and I was told that all I had, no, not the, the bladder issue. I had bladder cancer, and the only thing the doctors wanted to do was take my bladder out of my body at 59. That would change the rest of my life anyways. My daughter, I raised her by myself. God bless her. She's an executive. She's successful. She said, Daddy, if you'll just get this operation, they said you'll live longer. I'll take care of you if it doesn't work out right. I said, Carrie, I love you, but I don't love you that much. I said, for me to do this, I wouldn't be the same man today. So I told her that I was coming here to Negril for a 21-day health sabbatical, include fasting and prayer and the ocean, and just meet people I don't know, and they don't know me. So all we got to do is talk about love and truth. And that's how it worked for 21 days. I read everything Jesus said about healing in the four Gospels, how they got healed, who got healed, what did they do, including the people that he couldn't heal, which was a great eye-opener to people. At the end of 21 days, I go back the next month, they release me cancer-free, and I've been cancer-free for 14 years. Okay, so here I am now. So here's my whole take. From the motivational personal development days, I went into becoming a counselor. I had no idea how divided Christians were. I was totally amazed when I released a book, how it divided they were. Even against what Jesus said, they don't even acknowledge on the most part that he was saying what he was speaking was for everybody. They're trying to frame it that he's only there for the Jews first. Yeah, that's what he came first. But before it was done, he said, now that I'm done, I want all the Gentiles to do what I just said to do. That's what he said. Now, the moment you inject that, you've now created controversy in the New Testament, because the New Testament was put together, certified by the Roman Catholic Church. Let's not kid each other about who canonized it, who taught it, and who made heroes and legends out of Apostle Peter and Apostle Paul. They made heroes out of it. So then the Protestants come along and grab a hold of Paul's message and break away and call the Roman Catholic Church the evil empire. And they take the same Bible and they use what Paul said, and they literally attack everyone in the Catholic Roman Catholic Church. Now it's a billion people. But the Protestants will tell you for sure they're going to hell, that they're giving Mary all the attention, everything you could imagine. No, okay, so I listened. I wanted to know the truth, so I looked into the Bible scholars. And when you watch the Bible scholar representing the Catholic and the Orthodox and the Protestant, you watch them all go together at each other, you realize how confused and troubled they all are. And I feel sorry for them. And then when you break down the Protestants into 30,000 different groups and their only claim to fame is, can they attack one another with such a damning message? Then it's like watching the Democrats and the Republicans. It's the basically the same, just uniquely different. So if you really care about the Protestants and you get into, okay, what's the Baptists, the Pentecostals, the Seventh-day Adventists, the Lutheran, what are they all doing? Well, they're not breaking bread together, I'll tell you that much. So now when you read what Jesus said, there's some serious concerns for these people that are hypnotized. Now, as a motivational speaker, I've seen the hypnotist shows because I was fascinated by how you could capture someone's attention. I learned how to create a standing ovation if I wanted, just by the right attitude at the end of a talk with the right injection of music. It just is that way. I've learned how to create a standing ovation in the beginning just by the introduction. It's a matter of presentation style. So now we have personality-driven churches, And the mocking in social media, the only thing we get in social media that we can see is what goes on behind the doors in the churches on the weekly basis that nobody gets to see. And so I deal with the counseling of the pastor's wives that are troubled by the dishonesty of their pastor husbands. I deal with the relationships that are entangled in religion where they're bound to each other, even though there's no love whatsoever in that relationship. You can't be a walking contradiction, partly truth and partly fiction, and think you're going to end up okay. You just can't do that. So I'm here to speak about that. Okay. Okay. And if you read what Jesus said, he said, not everybody, here's what he says in future tense. He said, not everybody who comes to me and says, Lord, Lord, is going to go to heaven. He said, in future tense, you will say to me in that day, didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? Didn't we do this? That's future tense. I'm not called to help the lost. I'm sorry. I do not have any passion for the lost. My passion is to make sure that Christians, if they're going to use this, they're going to say they belong in the boat, that they really do belong in the boat. They really are in the boat. Because the stronger we are in the boat, the more of the lost people are going to want to jump in the boat. We can't beat them in the head and get them in and guilt and then have them find out once they get in the boat. This is a troubled boat. We're all troubled, yes, but we're not supposed to stay troubled.
How do you help them, Terry? How do you help them?
I bring them back to what Jesus said, because the bottom line is, if you're a Christian, that's why I only really counsel with Christians, because everybody that I run into say they're Christians. I just want to know who says so besides you. I mean, how do you know? How does it work in your life? You know, and what it's about. And I find that very few read what Jesus said. Very few, very, very few. Because they're guided to not read in red. So they use the words in red where it's convenient, not where it has a penalty. Not when the path is narrow. So if you can't teach somebody what Jesus said, if they don't care, how are you going to help them? But if they do care what Jesus said, then they're going to be helped immediately upon either reading what Jesus said in the book I have, because I have no comments in it, but I take people into the four gospels. I mean, read the gospel of Matthew, read the gospel of John today in a day. Don't stretch it out over the month. Sit down and read it. Find out. Have a moment. So if you're not willing to impact your learning, then you're going to learn by commercials what a story is about. I don't think so. It's a matter of being able to.
Fascinating. So let's do this, Terry. I want to make this alive for the listeners. So give me a case, if you'd be okay. Give me a typical person that comes to you. Maybe even think of somebody that came to you last month, and then, you know, anonymize their name and affiliation, right? Maybe just think of somebody that typically comes to you. Tell us a challenge that somebody comes to you with.
Well, most of all, someone's going to come to me because they have trouble in their life, either financially, physically, spiritually, but there's trouble in the home. And there's trouble in the home, on the most part, caused by the church that's not really participating in the home in many respects. So I talked with them. Now, if I'm counseling somebody who's married, I'm going to ask them, what was their promise when they got married? What was the oath? What did you promise each other? Who broke the promise? Why is it still an agreement if we broke the promise? Okay, so if you lied, cheated, and steal, we don't have an agreement anymore. We broke that. We said we promised to love, honor, and cherish. What I don't do is make excuses. We got a reason why we do things. Most people who have fallen sinfully, the Holy Spirit told them not to do it. They did it anyways. So was the sin what they did, or was the sin the disobedience to not do what the Holy Spirit said to do, which is to not do what you did? Do you operate on forgiveness, or do you operate on the discipline of approval of knowing I could have, but I didn't? So you try to help someone reverse their thinking around where they're not counting on God to forgive them. That's already there. They're counting on God to give them strength and obedience and wisdom and discipline. We have to stop making excuses. using the Bible when we have reasons to do things in the scripture. So do you live by reasons or do you live by excuse? So are we paying the price today for what we did or what we're doing right now? And until you can bring somebody in the here and now, they can't see that what they're doing today makes their tomorrow terrible. So yeah, I try to teach how to stop, look, and listen to what you've been thinking, saying, and doing. It's what you've been thinking and saying and doing that has caused things around you. So stop, look, and listen. And usually they find out. Usually confession runs deep like the ocean. It just depends on what you want to do with it afterwards, right? But when the pain of regret for what you could have done, you realize it weighs a ton versus the pain of discipline to what you could do now, you learn to let the past go. And without a view of the future, we only have the view of the past. So you try to help somebody realize you can't live your life looking through the rear view mirror or the front windshield of your life. If you're worried about something, turn around and deal with it and confront it. And then go back to the windshield and what do you want to do? But I think that until we do what Jesus said, how are we going to really have the peace and confidence that no matter what anyone says, I do what Jesus said. So therefore, if I'm wrong, I'll deal with it at the end.
That's beautiful. Thanks for sharing that, Terry. So let's take a situation like that. And obviously, Jesus said a lot of things. You've got 500 sayings in your book.
Right.
You know, the four Gospels are all kinds of red. There's things that Jesus said that weren't even listed. Many things that were said that weren't listed. When you look at first principles, what are two or three things that, let's say you have a pastor that he's got a good heart. He's built a good church. God's built a good church through him, but he's got a bad something inside of him. He's got a problem. He comes to you. He's got a problem. Maybe he's forgiven. It's behind him, but he's got to move forward. He's got to deal with the guilt. He's got to move forward. He's not going to go in a cave and quit. What are two or three of the things that Jesus said that you would put first and foremost in his prescription going forward?
Well, I like to deal with what I call love, light, and truth. Number one, when you have love in your heart, you have now incorporated forgiveness, because it's hard to love and not forgive, okay? So when you realize God has forgiven you, it makes forgiving others easier. Jesus said, whatever you pray, make sure before you pray, you've forgiven anybody who's against you. Well, that cuts to the chase right there. I've met Christians who says, I'm not going to forgive him. That's just how it is. Well, fine. You're kicking dirt up in the God's whole principle. So we love. And love comes loving your enemies, even learning to love the abuse someone has done, but not stand in line for any more abuse. I mean, really, love allows forgiveness, but it doesn't allow participation in the pain. So we have love. And then we have the light. We got to realize that we're out in the open in God's eyes. So we can't hide. We can't hide in our house. We can't hide outside. Jesus said, you're the light of the world on the hill that can't be hidden. Let your light so shine. So we got to redeem that. And then we got to deal in truth. Do we tell the truth? Why in America do we say, do you promise to tell the truth in court? Yes. Do you promise to tell the whole truth? Yes. Do you promise to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth? Yeah. Well, there is the whole truth. And we have to live in the whole truth or we're not free in any way whatsoever. So we've got to begin right there. But here's the issue. Here's the real, you know, the cornerstone. And this is where the fire comes out. You can't teach the New Testament like they're trying to do it because they're mixing Paul in there with all the others. And there's a division there. You got to be able to say, according to Paul, he says this. According to Jesus, he says this. You can't say the Bible says, because the Bible didn't say anything. It's a book of many books written by many authors at different times. And who said what to who is very important. So if we don't take a real honest look of the truth we're given in the New Testament, it couldn't even exist. Our New Testament couldn't exist without the four Gospels, what Jesus said and did. It couldn't exist. Take everything else out, just leave the four Gospels, and we're safer than you could imagine, okay? So therefore, now what are you going to do? Everybody's teaching the book that was put together by men who, if they didn't agree, they would be persecuted right then and there on the spot. So until you really realize and get out from the intoxication of the whole Bible, can you really get in to understand the meaning of the Bible to a Christian, which is what did Jesus say? Now, if you want to find out what everybody else says aligned with it, fine. But if you want to take issue with me over this, then call me up eye to eye, and I want to ask you, what's the most important thing to do? Do we do what Jesus said or not? Let's just start there. Because from there, we get into religion. One of the things I like, that when I sit down to read the epistles to get a stimulated mood, I'll read what Apostle Peter says in James and John. Apostle Peter 1 and 2, John 1, because James is not an apostle. But I'll read all three of them in one setting, as if they come to my house. All right. I read all of Paul's epistles one time in one day. I said, Lord, why are there so many divisions? Why does Paul seem to dominate? Why are they so against each other? Why the mocking? Why the attacking? Holy Spirit says, read all of Paul's epistles in one day. So I got up at 5 a.m. to start to read. By 11 that night, with a rest or two, I read all of them, all 13. I was amazed at what it really said versus what they tell you that it says in sound bites. I was so shocked, I went back and read it again in one day. Now, between me and the audience, God forbid all of us, I could never read any more again. I had to stick with what Jesus said. And when I read what Apostle Peter and John said in their epistles, in the opening part of their epistles, here's what they declare. We do not share any fables. We walked with the Lord. We saw what he did. We were eyewitnesses. That's what I'm hunting for. That's the testimony. That's the walk of the talk. Outside of that, it's all dynamics on stage, and I've seen some of the best. I was raised in the Oral Roberts day, the Jimmy Swagger days. I was in the Oral Roberts, Richard Roberts TV show, so I've been behind the scenes. I've seen the Jimmy Swagger, Donnie Swagger show. I've seen the Jim Baker show. The Mike Murphy show. I seen it. I was in it all, more or less. I watched it on TV and participated with some. Meaning I watched it. I just never belonged to any of it, but I learned and participated until I got mature enough to realize, oh my God, this is a real problematic situation. So that's where I am on that one.
Thanks for sharing, and thanks for being willing to share. You know, I mentioned this, and of course, this is because this is an interview series. I'm going to reference one of the other interviews I did with Richard Mortimer literally earlier today, and we were talking about the schisms between the various denominations today. And we were literally, when you listen to it, you'll hear it if you do. And for folks that are listening, you're watching the entire series. You know, I talked about Peter and Paul, and I talked about the disagreements even then. We talked about it. And so for you to bring it up here, and neither one of us had meant, Richard and I had not meant to talk about that. I didn't know that's where you were, right? And so I think it's just so very interesting. And I'm going to tie something up, and then I want to ask you a question. You know, I tell you with where I look is that Jesus is Jesus, and we can lock arms with each other, even if Richard and I disagree a little bit, or if I disagree with you a little bit. I'm not saying that I do or I don't, but if we did, if we disagreed, we love Jesus Christ and we can still lock arms. And there's so many other people out there that get turned off by a message, right? Somebody might get turned off by something I said. Let's say this, Terry, somebody might have gotten turned off by what you said about Paul, but I'm going to speak to you right now. If you just got turned off, here's the thing. What if it's okay if Terry believes something different than you do about something that we honestly weren't there at the beginning anyway? And what if God is calling all of us to lock arms and bring people to closer to Jesus, even if we don't all agree with every single point of all the theology out there? So that's what I'm saying to those that are watching us. Terry, I want to come back to something. It'd be okay with you if we kind of shift gears a little bit. You know, when we first started talking, and I think even before we turned the recorder on, you know, you had mentioned you're really excited because this is the first interview in a series for you. This is my third interview in a new series for me. And God hasn't given me a lot of background. He's just told me, I believe that he's told me, you get out there and you do some of these interviews and I'm going to guide some things, right? And so I'm leaning into his trusting man, right? Now, you mentioned you were excited because this is the first. Tell me about that excitement. Like what is that that's the first?
Well, 2 years, 2.5 years ago, I was just down the street from where I am now, and I was in June 2022, and I was about to release the book after a great struggle. We created a Shopify website. I'm talking great economic struggle, and I'm all ready to go. And I get injured. I injured my back, and I had to leave August 3rd and go back to my daughter's in Birmingham. It took months to figure out all that I had to do. So by the time I got to December 2023, I lost Christmas again. I had to get a back procedure. And then in January of this year, I had to get a new hip replaced. Now, a hip replacement at any age is not a day at the beach, I can assure you of that. But a hip replacement, I'm told at 72, is a real stretch. Now, I have a very well-disciplined attitude and an intense faith and belief that everything that happens to me is God's approval. Now, did I deserve this? Is this my test? What is it? Because I've already lived my life in the Lord, so I'm ready to go right now or stay forever. It's not up to me. I'm just willing. And so I've come back now. I've had my hip pop out twice and once down here in Jamaica. So I had to experience the third world hospital in a way that you can only find on 60 Minutes. I mean, it was like the devil was trying to scare me away, but I love the people. They love me. I walk the beach with a walking stick. So I'm either Moses, a Reverend Christian, or Kenny Rogers on the beach, depending on how I see you, right? But I have 100 friends on the beach, and it's my family. So now I'm back, and I'm back in a better place that I've been ever before for less money than ever before. I've got an upper room now. I'm here by the grace of God. I still got economic pressures, but the book is about to be released. So when I'm done with you, I get to take how I feel now and do another, my first podcast called Walking with Jesus, the podcast. And I'm going to start a series of pre-podcast reviews over the next 10 days as I get ready to start a podcast December 1. Now, my first, probably first 50 shows, or I don't know, I'm just going to guess. I'm like you, it could be 20. I'm not really going to have guests. I'm going to set a platform of what I want to stand for, what I'm teaching, and bring in an audience because I can back up everything I'm saying in such a lovingly controversial way. But I want to explain why we're up at each other's throats. Now we must stop that. And so I'm gonna, so when I'm done with you and I say goodbye, then I get to pause for a moment, give God thanks, and turn it right up and go to another page that I'm ready to give notes called Three Things I Do Every Day Worldwide Online. So that's why I say what happens next is a big part of it. That's why I had to declare right here with you. I thought it was funny. Here's what I'm believing in now. Look, I don't have anything against Paul, and I have everything for Jesus. So I can lovingly talk about it all, whether it's Paul or the Pope or the Baptists or Jimmy Swaggart and Billy Graham. I can lovingly talk about them all in their own right. Or Joel Osteen, because I knew his dad, John. Okay, so, I just want to be the bridge maker. But I want to tell the truth that shocks some people. It's just we got to tell the truth. I can't hear you. I can't hear you.
Give us a taste of those three things that you're going to put on that first podcast. Give us a taste. Give people a whet their appetite for coming to your podcast.
Well, the first thing I do is I teach what Jesus said every day. I speak what Jesus said. I teach Christians where they live, how to be strong in the spirit, so they're not waiting on someone from another country to come and save their life or to help them. Because if you're hungry where you are, you need to figure out how to eat where you are. Okay, so then I want to help. And to me, the word help, HELP, stands for helping everyone live peacefully. Well, we're guaranteed peacefully if we're walking in what Jesus said. So the whole goal is how to make disciples based on what Jesus said. Then I offer private counseling and coaching to people that really want to take a good look at what's going on in their life. Now, I prefer to counsel the rich because they know it's not about money. They already know it's not about money. Everybody else, you got to get past the money. But I believe that relationships can be healed and restored by telling the truth. And I believe that we could overcome some sickness and illnesses if we understand prayer and we understand fasting. And so I give feedback on that. But my missionary work I do here in the local schools, I love, because they allow you to pray in school here, and they allow you to teach from the Bible here. So I like to teach where I am. I like to teach online. And then I like the one-on-one counseling where you can give somebody an idea and it alters and improves their life an hour later. A lot of people would do better if they made their home their church, not find a church home. You got the picture? So when your home becomes your church, it changes everything for you. You can't go to a church from hell and then go back to hell. You can't go from clutter to clarity and then go back to clutter and confusion. It's a contradiction. And I just want to help turn up the heat. So in the clarity, we're no longer lukewarm. But what if the majority are wrong? What if division is not what Jesus said? What if Jesus said right here, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself will not stand? How are we ever going to say that our Christianity is united together at all? So I teach the Life Walk. It's called the Life Walk, aka the Miracle Walk. That's what I went on. I offer the private counseling, but I teach right out of the What Did Jesus Say book. And then whoever lacks the money to get the ebook, I'll give them a free code to download an ebook, an audio book. It's not about any money. It's about getting the word out. But when somebody in the Philippines, or someone in Jamaica, when somebody around the world says, the book got me closer to Jesus because the Bible is too difficult to read, then my job is done.
That's the walkingwithjesus.world website. Is that right?
Walkingwithjesus.world, right. Walkingwithjesus.world.
Terry, as we wrap up.
And by the way, now the free code, if you want to download the ebook and audio book, the free code is Jesus Said, all one word. And you can get an EPUB or Kindle, and you can get two different versions of the same audio book. Now, if you want to make a donation, there's a place to do that, but you can have the book. Okay, because until we do what Jesus said, we're really doing what everybody else said. Really. And what is religion? It's about Jesus. What is Jesus? About God. So do you want to learn? Here's the thing. Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, learn from me. He didn't say learn about me. And then he tells his apostles, go teach them what I taught you. So we got to take a good look at what Jesus meant.
That's beautiful, Terry. I'll tell you what, as we're kind of coming to the close here, I've really enjoyed this. I'll tell you, for me, I just look at God's handiwork in our conversation, in what led to this conversation, what led to all the events that allowed me to be introduced to you, and really seeing the hand of God behind all of this. That's really interesting to me. Not because, you know, I haven't seen the hand of God so many times, but it's like every time you see the hand of God, there's this fresh amazement. Like, we never get tired of seeing the hand of God.
That's where you and I are at right this minute. Okay. Yeah. So the breath of fresh air you're getting right now in this, I want you to go do this podcast, is the same. I've been waiting for 2 weeks. Okay, when do you want me to start, Lord? When do you want me to start? I got all my notes out, but I just couldn't start talking. Okay. And then this morning when I got up, I was about to go for a walk on the beach, and all of a sudden I have a podcast, because I only had one. I just didn't write it down in the right place. So then I was in a panic. Oh, no, this is at 1 o'clock. Everything's really good. And then it was like on my long walk and back, I knew that whatever happened next when we said goodbye was going to be what I've been waiting to hear. So I look forward to how we follow up on this. And I'm glad to have been here with you at this time.
That's, I'll tell you, it's just an intense amazement, Terry, how God works. Because, I hear you saying, look, I've been waiting and waiting, and God's been this preparation. I've been waiting and waiting. I'll be honest with you, Terry. God gave me, and I could probably look at my notes, but I think my journal, God gave me the assignment to do this back in probably April or maybe May. Okay. And here it is, November, right? Months and months have passed, and I keep putting God off day after day after day. And there's always a good excuse, right? I'm out there doing good things for people. I'm checking all the boxes, but you know what? I wasn't obedient to this thing. So I became obedient. And what I think is going to be really interesting, Terry, is how many other stories I hear just like yours, right? Where God is using my obedience and your obedience, right? You've been sitting there waiting, and now you're able to wake up this morning, and God's able to give you an incredible peace that you're going to go do the thing that He gave you.
That's
I'm
it.
able to sit into the thing that He gave me. Somebody else and somebody else and somebody else. Imagine, I was talking with Thomas. You might have heard this when I was talking with Thomas about this idea that there may be a million Christians right now that God is tugging at every single one of us to do a little
Oh,
thing.
yeah.
We
Oh,
think
yeah.
that little thing is so small, but if all of us Christians were to do our thing times a million of us, if we all actually did it, what work can God do through us humble servants? One humble, obedient servant at a time. And this
He
just
set the
practically
records.
gives me
That's
the
right.
goosebumps, Terry.
He can set the record right, and that's what it's about. God is the most ultimate networker. So all of us that are praying to be part of something are being united and guided together for a reason. And as you can say, you wrote in your journal, that was a key word, right? I've been writing in my journal since my 46-day fast. So I've got cases full of journals, and at the end of the month, I start another one. And it puts my prayers and my goals, but my prayers on the most part. So we're on the same page. I look forward to having another opportunity to do a podcast with you. And we just talk about the seven messages in the book, because then we have locked in a podcast that's all bridge building. Okay. And that's really what it's about. When you realize, you ever hear the phrase WWJD, what would Jesus do? Well, the initials of this book is WDJS, what did Jesus say? And I'm told that what did Jesus say answers what would Jesus do? Because when you know what Jesus said, then you know what Jesus would do, because he's obedient.
So
That's
powerful.
the
Here's what I want
key
to
to
do,
it
Terry.
all.
Let's do this. I opened our time in prayer, and I told you that's counterintuitive for a podcast. Terry, would you take this time before the Lord and I'll let you close this out in a prayer. How's that?
Okay. Father, we come to you today as two people who agree as one. In the name of Jesus, we're here. And we just set the platform and told the truth and shared the truth. I ask that you let this message impact all of these listeners so that they can take a good look at what Jesus said. His letters are in red, Lord, for the blood that was shed. So let's find out what was said, and then the Holy Spirit will guide us to the one conclusion in unity in Jesus Christ. I ask that you bless our homes and our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Pastor Terry Christian, thank you so much for being here, from sharing from your heart. And it's been a real pleasure. And I feel it's a great honor to be able to talk with you and to be able to be involved in what God is doing in your life and in your ministry.
And I thank you again for that. God bless.
Thanks for listening to the Exceedingly Podcast, where we shine a light on the good works God is doing through Christian business people, authors, speakers, and pastors. Talk about practical ways we can all let our lights shine and glorify Christ on earth.